This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Friday, November 9th, 2018. Welcome to the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. It's a blustery day, a temperature of 32 right now, 32 degrees, a wind chill of 23. We'll have the 5-day coming up.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. The temperatures are falling, the snow is falling, and so are the markets. Let's get the latest from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob and Chris, sinking oil prices are starting to pull down stocks as well. The Dow is down 239 points, or almost 1% lower now, to 25,952. NASDAQ losing almost 2%, or 143 points, and the S&P in retreat down 32 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index falling 1.3%. Crude oil futures falling more than 1% at $60 a barrel now. There's a signal this morning that inflation is heating up. At least it is at the wholesale level. The October Producer Price Index, which measures the costs of goods and services that are paid by companies, rose 0.6%. That was three times more than forecast. It's also a jump from the 0.2 rise in September. It was the biggest monthly increase since 2012. Mickey Mouse may be 90 years old, but the mouse has the strength of a giant. Disney's results for last quarter beat analyst projections both on sales and earnings, and its dominance in the film industry continues. Studio profit more than doubled as Ant-Man and the Wasp hit theaters, and Incredibles 2 came out on home video. Disney also saw more visitors at its theme parks, and they spent more. Its TV business is up. Disney is the best performing blue chip. The stock is higher by more than 1%. Back to you, Rob and Chris. Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, it's a busy hour ahead. China to Yelp to mindful shopping.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. We will talk about how augmented reality, think Pokemon Go, can be used to improve businesses. All that and more coming up in the Noon Business Hour.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, the battle for streaming viewers is set to become more intense with the arrival of a service from Disney. We're going to be covering that in our next segment. Right now, yesterday's decision by the Fed still working the markets and trade with China. And China has its own problems as well. We're joined by Samir Samana, who is a global equity and technical strategist and Wells Fargo Investment Institute. Welcome to our program, Samir. What is the problem with China? It's wrestling with a trade war, but also some other things that are making it difficult there.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So last night we had a few pieces of economic data that came out. So we got producer price index. That tends to tell us, you know, again, the manufacturers in China, how are they doing with respect to being able to, you know, charge more for their goods? And that number was a little bit weaker than expected, so that makes us worry a little bit about their manufacturing data. We also saw, you know, new car registrations, car sales in China, and those were weaker than expected. So, you know, there continues to be this concern that China is already slowing kind of on their own, and then you have this trade confrontation with the U.S. that will only make things worse. So a lot of people are watching them pretty closely right now.
And what does it say that they're opening up for American Express and possibly some other U.S. companies to be in Chicago or in China and having their business there, having part of their business there?
You know, it's always good, you know, when you have an economy of that size kind of, you know, modernize and become more open-ended. You know, I think the tricky part for a lot of companies has been, you know, there's usually always this caveat where you kind of step in and then, you know, later on there's, you know, some restrictions or what have you, you know, with respect to conducting business or expanding. So, again, I would take it kind of at face value and say it's maybe a mild positive. But, you know, we need a lot of these different things, whether it's intellectual property, whether some of the issues around, you know, they play by rules made for developing nations as opposed to developed nations. We need some of those things to kind of be cleared up for China really to be viewed a little bit more favorably by businesses.
The midterms are over, and even before the election, there were a lot of rumors that there was going to be a staff shakeup in President Trump's administration. That's definitely bearing fruit, and the next person in the cabinet who could be on his way out is Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, possibly to be replaced by Linda McMahon, who currently is the head of the Small Business Administration and was the former CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment. How would this signal, how could we see a change in policy coming out of the Commerce Department with a new person in charge?
You know, you always expect some turnover after the midterm, so it's not surprising to see the staff shake up. But with respect to Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, I mean, there's been some chatter that President Trump maybe feels like he's not quite the killer, if you will, when it comes to trade and other negotiations. So it could be that he's switching to Linda McMahon in the hopes that maybe she would be possibly tougher at the trade negotiating table. So, what I would view it as is that, if anybody thinks that these trade tensions are going to maybe tamp down, it looks like at least with this pick, things might get a little bit more tense before they start to kind of resolve themselves.
2 years ago around this time, we were asking our guests, what do you think the Trump administration is going to produce in terms of economic policy now that we've passed the midpoint in terms of the midterm elections? We are going to have a divided Congress. Is it just going to be sit on your hands and wait for 2 years because nothing's going to come out of Washington?
We'll have to wait and see. Our base case would be, there are some things that they can both agree on. Those would include things like infrastructure. It would include possibly things like drug pricing. So again, there are areas of commonality. The tricky part isn't so much what they tend to agree on from a policy standpoint, but how can they play in the sandbox together from a political standpoint? And we saw President Trump's, press conference the other day, and, at times he seemed conciliatory, wanting to make deals across the aisle, and at other times he wanted to retaliate if there were any investigations. So again, I think the next few months will kind of help us see which one of those scenarios is a more likely one. But if they can work together, there are things that should be some things that both parties could walk away as wins.
Samir, thanks for joining us today. Nice to meet you. Samir Samana is global equity and technical strategist at Wells Fargo Investment Company in St. Louis.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Disney's new rival to Netflix, called Disney Plus, is expected to launch late next year. Let's get the latest on the streaming wars with Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertere Group based in Chicago. Tim, welcome back to the program. So Disney Plus is going to contain literally every Disney or Disney-affiliated piece of media ever created?
Yeah, Rob, pretty much. I think it's essentially designed to be actually more family-friendly. So that's the vibe for this brand, this Disney Plus brand. And the beginnings of what it will look like were kind of discussed yesterday on the earnings call with Bob Iger. And I think you're going to see sub-brands be primarily featured in this Disney Plus umbrella. That is Disney itself. That's a brand name as well as a corporate name. Pixar and Star Wars, which is a franchise for sure. Marvel, of course. Interestingly, they even put in or announced yesterday National Geographic, which is going to be one of those brands that they are acquiring from Fox once that deal is complete. So I think the real answer there is consider it family-friendly fare from those sort of sub-brands. That doesn't mean, though, that there won't be other Disney programming in other outlets. But family-friendly is the watchword for sure.
I'm guessing there's a lot of parents who are listening who are wondering, does that mean I have quick access to Frozen for any little ones who may be in need of an electronic nightlight?
I think the original, I think any sequel, any subsidiary, any follow-on or animated extensions, I think absolutely you can. That's one example, I think, of what they have in mind is not only sort of the library of currently existing, but is an immediate digital platform to then allow for all kinds of extensions relatively quickly. And again, that doesn't mean that those things won't be found or distributed in other channels or other environments, but I think rest assured there's going to be a major library component to this offering for sure. I think that's a huge value for families, no doubt.
What are we seeing on Wall Street, how investors are looking at this plan?
I think Disney is, I think a lot of people from the longer term kind of felt very reassured yesterday. The results from ESPN with their ESPN Plus platform, Iger pretty much saying that things like Hulu are going to be very much still in the, on their plate. I think a lot of people are feeling very, very bullish right now that Disney's got the content thing really figured out, has a growing stable, certainly with the acquisition of Fox, and is really well positioned. I think the only angst really is, do we have to wait until 2019 for this Disney Plus service to roll out? So I think a lot of people like to see it sooner rather than later if they had their choice.
Thanks for joining us today, Tim. Tim Hanlon is founder, CEO of the Vertaire Group in Chicago. Still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, a growing Chicago company that focuses on augmented reality.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Now WBBM Business from Bloomberg, and here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, no let up in the losses. The Dow down 253 points, or 1%, and we're at 25,940. NASDAQ losing 2%, or 152 points. The composite at 73.78. S&P down 1.25%, or 34 points, tumbling back to 27.72. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is also lower by 1.5%. Crude futures are taking a toll on the stock market. Oil down more than 1% to $60 a barrel. BMW, which is among the worst hit car makers from the U.S.-China trade war, says the tensions are not the most important factor in determining where to make its cars. BMW's chief financial officer says the current trade spat is probably temporary and that demand expectations will determine where they build their factories. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
To finish up the week, corn has been down as much as 5.25. We're presently down 4, 369.5. Beans have been up 6 to down 4. We're presently up 6 in January at 885. And the wheat's been up 7 to up, rather down 7 to up 0.25. December wheat down 4.25 at 503.5. Corn and wheat lower, beans higher. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are taking a hit today. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
Entrepreneur Friday, we meet the co-founder of a Chicago company that's taking augmented reality into new areas.
The Toys R Us brand is coming to a grocery store near you, while there's a new shopping trend involving ugly produce.
A man's facing felony hate crime charges for allegedly drawing a swastika and other graffiti on buildings on Chicago's north side.
WBBM Market Watch, the Dow is down 254 points. The NASDAQ is down 156. The S&P 500 is down 35.
And we've got here in Chicago, 32 degrees and a wind chill of 23.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Stocks are struggling on this final day of the trading week. We're joined by Jeff Kilberg, who is the CEO of KKM Financial based in Chicago. Jeff, welcome back to the program. It sounds like oil is serving as the boat anchor this Friday on the three major indices.
You're right, Rob. It is interesting to see the bear market we're incurring right now in crude oil. And it's very interesting to see we're concerned about the sanctions, the looming Iranian sanctions being reinstated. So you did see crude oil for a moment in time tip up to $75. And now, ever since we've given waivers to about five different countries, or dispensations, I should say, they've seen crude oil come off. And we're seeing a lot of repositioning there. But I think in the broader sense here, Rob, we are seeing markets sell up. The NASDAQ down about 2%. The S&P 500 down about 1.5%, but I think this is the volatility. We've talked a lot about on your show, this volatility, this new normalized volatility we saw in the month of October. It's just part of the way the markets are going to transition as we see interest rates continue to move higher and normalize in that process.
So how would you tell the investors or people who are new investors how to get through this?
Well, I think you have to be patient. I really do think you have to understand that there's a lot of different market forces happening right now. Look at a GE, one of the blue chip stocks back in 2000, the year 2000, almost 20 years ago. It was above $50. Today, Chris, we're seeing it down 7% at $8.45. So this is mind-boggling to see some of these names really having a hard time in the ticker prices. But at the same time, I think some of the tech names, yes, they are being sold today. There's still opportunity if you look at the Amazons, you look at some of those FANG stocks we talk about, but the market has really become a stock picker's market. It's no longer allowing you to just pick an index and be passive. You have to really understand what you own in your portfolio, select the proper sectors moving forward in 2019, and understand the rate sensitivity to some of the names. So you're seeing like a Duke Energy today up 1%, a Lockheed Martin, or some defensive names finally on the move up higher after you're seeing some profit taken in those FANG stocks.
Let's talk about American Express briefly, which is jumping into the Chinese marketplace. It's becoming the first U.S. credit card company to get the green light to start building its own payments network in China. So in the midst of all of this push and pull between the U.S. and Chinese governments over trade, you do have some American companies that are striking some big deals and entering the Chinese marketplace.
Yes, Rob, this is a ray of sunshine in the market today. And yes, American Express is down about 70 basis points, but look at their rivals, Visa and MasterCard, down over 1.5% each. So this is a huge deal to be the first U.S. credit card network to gain access to this Chinese market. And this Chinese big bank market, it's going to be the largest in the world by 2020. So this is a really big deal for American Express. And we're interested to see if Visa and MasterCard also get licenses, because they've all applied, but Amex is the winner today.
And then we have Yelp that's cratering 30% as the site is being abandoned. What's going on there?
Chris, I think they're going to change the ticker to HELP. Mother of you-know-who. This is tough to see. Yelp is really seeing significant pressure today, but I think it's a lot of profit taking. But look at the earnings, the Q3 earnings. They still made $241 million. That only missed by $4 million of expectations. They're still growing from a year-over-year perspective of 8%. But when you disappoint a high-flying, high-beta stock like this, they punish you. So it's interesting to see Yelp back down to some of these levels they haven't seen in quite some time. Near the IPO, it started off around $25 back in 2012. So we're calling that Yelp help today, because it needs some help here as it's bottoming out.
Is it that there are a lot of different companies like this in the industry, and they're just not winning?
I think that's a combination of, but you have to realize there's a lot of hot money in some of these names. If it's a FANG stock or if it's a name like Yelp, they are looking for profit and they do not want to be in for the longer term. Very different than, in stark contrast to, a name like GE, where we're finally seeing some pensions plow out of that stock down here in the $8. But Yelp, I think, sees a lot of hot money. So expect a big down move today, but you may see a short-term bounce of 10% just due to the fact that it's oversold and the momentum traders are being washed out.
As over the years, as this recovery continued to shatter the record books in terms of longevity and durability, people have been asking, when's the other shoe going to drop? Is this volatility that we see on the financial markets, is this a sign that the other shoe may be getting rather unstable and wobbly on the other foot?
The shoe may be getting heavy, Rob. You're absolutely right. But I think we have to understand where we came from. For the last 10 years, the central bankers, specifically the Federal Reserve here, have conditioned us and suppressed volatility. So this volatility is actually normal. We just can't remember from 10 years ago. So I think you have to understand that we're coming out of a suppressed volatility environment, normalizing rates. So there's a lot for the market to grapple with. But look at the U.S. economy. A lot of great names, a lot of great foundations, a lot of great data still here. However, that is in contrast to some of the European and even the Asian countries that are seeing some global growth slowdown. So I think when you look for a bellwether, I would obviously look at the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, but look at crude oil. We talked earlier about crude oil. When you see that come down, that is really indicative of a potential global growth slowdown. So I think, yes, we're going to see continued volatility, but if you can understand and get proper exposure to some of the sectors like the industrials, like the tech names, and like financials that we really like going into 2019, I think those sectors should prevail as this all kind of sorts itself out.
Well, thank you very much, as always, for the insights, Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial, based in Chicago. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, taking a real-world experience and then enhancing it with the use of technology.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday here on the Noon Business Hour, and today we're venturing into the brave new world of augmented reality. We're joined by John Martin, a co-founder and CEO of Bundle AR Chicago and a former colleague here at WBBM. John, thanks for joining us today. You've been busy.
Oh, thank you, Chris, and hi, Rob. Great to be on WBBM again.
Tell us what Bundle AR is.
Well, Bundle AR is an augmented reality technology company, and we are focused initially on three verticals. One is expo reality for trade shows, conventions. The other is published reality for printers, publishers, ad agencies, marketing firms. And the third is campus reality, which is focused on higher educations and colleges.
Well, you really hit a theme here that's very popular, and I would assume that it's you're doing pretty well with it. How did you first get interested in it?
Well, as you might recall, I've been involved on the technology side of media for many years now, and I've just stayed close to technology and seeing what trends are out there. And we certainly knew augmented reality was going to have its day in the sun when last year when both Google and Apple and then Amazon all jumped on board with the hardware for the technology and then with the software tools for the developers called ARKit and ARCore. So they kind of fueled the massive growth. And what we have found is very few technology operations really have people with the skills of AR on their teams. So we're very blessed that they're coming to us to assist them.
The world of augmented reality, it was something that existed in concept in many spaces, and then, of course, it exploded not too long ago with Pokemon Go, and all of a sudden, everybody was in a park chasing after various Pokemon. The idea behind Pokemon Go was incredibly simple. So how do you take that simple concept and then move it into, let's say, a college football game or the classroom space?
Right. Well, Rob, I'd say one of the big things that's happened is the last year or two is where big companies made the mobile device the distribution platform. So it's now so easy to bring AR to wherever you go, including what we call immersive game day experiences at sporting events, where you can bring this technology forward. You can do cool photo booth things. The learning, the training capabilities of AR are just unbelievable, where you could now be in a hospital and you've got hospital technology and the person on the third shift forgot how to use that equipment. You just point your tablet at it. Next thing you know, the wise nurse that knows that equipment from Monday through Friday is telling you how to operate it, what the FAQs are, a checklist. And so I see for training across all industries, AR is going to be huge.
And where do you see you mentioned in the healthcare area, is that where you anticipate, you know, the first real base of customers are going to exist?
Well, I think it's also, yes, healthcare for sure, it's going to be huge. You talk to hospitals, not only do they need to train their staff on all this new technologies, processes, equipment that comes in, but also we're talking to a hospital in Seattle, they go, sometimes 20-30% of their patients are foreign, and they can't communicate with them. So that's another way that AR could be a great tool in a hospital.
Do you have a destination that you hope to get to, and what would that be?
Well, a destination, you know, for us right now is we're building out a content management system and a platform that would make it easy for even small businesses or medium-sized businesses for them to take advantage of AR. So we're building out our core platform that we call Bundle AR Core that will make it easy for just about any type of business to jump on board and use this technology, because so many people are struggling with finding, you know, the solution internally. They just don't have people who have the experience on their teams. So they're coming to us to help them with that, and we're proud to do it.
Well, thanks so much for telling us about your job, John Martin, co-founder and CEO of Bundle AR Chicago. And the website is bundlar.com. Still to come, Toys R Us lives on in the grocery aisle. We'll tell you about that.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Toys R Us is coming to the supermarket. While ugly produce is not necessarily a bad thing, let's get an update on what's happening in the grocery aisle from Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. Phil, welcome back to the program. Let's talk about the Toys R Us merging with your grocery store. Who's doing this and how is it going to look?
Well, Rob, it's brilliant. It's one of the smartest things that I've heard all year. We all know that Toys R Us went out of business, so Kroger stepped up and they decided to put, for Christmas only, Toys R Us departments in the Kroger store. They'll also be selling things online. But it is so smart because keep in mind that a lot of people are still going to buy toys. Not everybody has a Walmart nearby, and not everybody wants to shop at Walmart. So this is really a great avenue for Kroger to expand its horizons. A lot of grocery stores have gone into grocerants. We've talked about that before, full-service restaurant in clothing. Hy-Vee has a separate clothing department. So this, in my opinion, it's only going to be in 600 stores, but I've got to tell you, this to me is a test. If this works, we might see a Toys R Us department in every Kroger eventually.
And Kroger is also busy at the aisle where there is ugly produce. Do you want to explain that to us?
Sure, Chris. You know, the problem that we've got with any natural food is, you know, it's natural. So for years, grocers would say, you know, if this apple isn't perfect, I'm not going to sell it, even though it's high quality, it's tasty and the like. And a lot of the natural grocers, especially Whole Foods and some of the others, have been selling quote-unquote ugly produce for years. These are products that might have little blemishes, but they're perfectly safe. Sometimes they're even tastier. And in fact, in Australia, there's one retailer that has a basket of ugly produce for kids. And the kids can just go and take it and eat it while they're going throughout the store instead of going to the bakery and getting a free cookie. So Kroger is the first retailer really to brand this. They're calling it Peculiar Picks. I'm not sure I love the name, but basically what you're going to see is you're going to see produce that is less expensive, still high quality, might not have the perfect appearance, and it not only, you know, is going to sell more produce to more people at lower prices, but also it prevents waste, because a lot of these other produce items that might not be perfect winds up some in food service operations, but otherwise just thrown out. So it's a perfect mix, again, for Kroger, whether it was toys or ugly produce, to really come full circle to help save the planet, eliminate food waste. Food waste is about 40% of all food consumed here in the U.S., and you know, offer produce at a discount to a lot of people who might not be able to afford it.
I can hear it now. The Peculiar Prickly Pear. Thank you, Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Business News is sponsored by Baird, and here's Elisa Parenti. Chris, the Dow is now sinking 268 points, or 1%. We're down to 25,925. NASDAQ down 2.25%, or 164 points. S&P also falling 36 points, or 1.25%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by 1.5%. Oil is pressuring stocks today as a slump continues into a 10th day. Crude futures are down more than 1% to below $60 a barrel. This comes 2 days before OPEC nations meet in Abu Dhabi. Prices down now more than 20% from the high they reached in October. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.